Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to begin each of our shows, I like to read or share a recent poignant story or an especially interesting essay or some philosophical quotes or thoughts or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. Well, since this is our Easter show, I thought we'd have a little theme of Easter, some stories and thoughts, and this is the story of Easter. Easter is a time of springtime festivals. In Christian countries, Easter is celebrated as the religious holiday commemorating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But the celebrations of Easter have many customs and legends that are pagan in origin and have nothing to do with Christianity. Scholars, accepting the derivation proposed by the 8th century English scholar St. Bede, believe the name Easter is thought to come from the Scandinavian goddesses of mythology signifying spring and fertility, whose festival was celebrated on the day of the vernal equinox. Traditions associated with the festival survive in the Easter rabbit, a symbol of fertility, and in colored Easter eggs originally painted with bright colors to represent the sunlight of spring and used in Easter egg rolling contests or given as gifts. The Christian celebration of Easter embodies a number of converging traditions with emphasis on the relation of Easter to the Jewish festival of Passover. Passover is an important feast in the Jewish calendar, which is celebrated for 8 days and commemorates the flight and freedom of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. The early Christians, many of whom were of Jewish origin, were brought up in the Hebrew tradition in regard to Easter as a new feature of the Passover festival. Easter is at the end of the Lenten season, which covers a 46-day period that begins on Ash Wednesday and ends with Easter. The Lenten season itself comprises 40 days, as the 6 Sundays in Lent are not actually a part of Lent. Sundays are considered a commemoration of Easter Sunday and have always been excluded from the Lenten fast. The Lenten season is a period of penitence and preparation for the highest festival of the church year, Easter. Holy Week, the last week of Lent, begins its observance with Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday takes its name from Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, where the crowds laid palms at his feet. Holy Thursday commemorates the Last Supper, which was held the evening before the crucifixion. Friday in Holy Week is the anniversary of the crucifixion, the day that Christ was crucified and died on the cross. Holy Week and the Lenten season end with Easter Sunday, the day of resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it kind of went fast, maybe because half of it was winter or more. But certainly something to look forward to. Palm Sunday and, of course, the celebration of Easter. Kind of the holiest time in the Catholic Church. And having been educated by the Jesuits, it's always fun to go to the Masses on Holy Thursday and the services on Good Friday. And the most elaborate ceremony of the year, Holy Saturday, which is quite an experience for the Catholics, and when the new people who are baptized become Catholics, and it's a great time to welcome them into the Catholic Church. So just a few thoughts as we'll continue the show about Easter. Well, before we enjoy our first very special guest, let's play a little something upbeat. Henry Mancini's great theme from the great movie with David Niven, The Pink Panther, and we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show. Henry Mancini's The Pink Panther. We're back on the Kevin Moore Show. Don't want to forget, for Easter, Swirls Cupcakes, our good friend Pam Rose, 705 West Belden, for great cupcakes like the Easter Coconut and Chocolate Coconut Cupcakes, regular and gluten-free, or the Coconut Chicks, vegan gluten-free. 773-404-2253. Call Pam Rose. She'll take care of you. Small ones, large ones, as many as you want. Always a great treat for Easter at Swirls Cupcakes. One of the fun things about hosting my radio show is having the opportunity of making the acquaintance of some very interesting, talented, and fascinating people. And our first very special guest is just such a person. He's a man who's spoken to us through his movies and filmmaking for many years. We're all familiar with his work because the films that he has made have become standards that speak to each of us and just simply touch our hearts. Memorable movies such as An Officer and a Gentleman with Richard Gere, Against All Odds with Oscar winner Jeff Bridges, La Bamba, the Richie Valens biography, The Devil's Advocate with Al Pacino, the multiple Oscar-winning film about the great Ray Charles entitled Ray, and the film for which he won the Academy Award, When We Were Kings. A true Renaissance man, Taylor has served proudly as a Peace Corps volunteer in South America, former president of the Directors Guild of America, producer, director, actor, and is a proud graduate of USC. Hershey Felder presents the award-winning Taylor Hackford production of Lewis and Keeley, Live at the Sahara, a musical play about Las Vegas' most celebrated onstage lovers, Louis Prima and Keeley Smith, and performances begin Friday, March 27th at the Royal George Theater. Continuing in a tradition of storytelling and music, Hershey Felder, George Gershwin alone, Maestro Bernstein, Irving Berlin, Mona Golubic, and the pianist of Willesden Lane will present the Chicago stage premiere of Academy Award-winning director Taylor Hackford's Lewis and Keeley Live at the Sahara. Hackford, best known for his films as An Officer and a Gentleman, Against All Odds, and so forth, and his epic musical Ray, has decided to bring his latest award-winning musical stage production to Chicago, where Louis Prima and Keeley Smith created sold-out musical magic in the 50s and 60s. The production will begin previews on March 27th and open Tuesday, April 7th. At 7:30 at Chicago's Royal George Theater, 1641 North Halsted. The play is co-written by Vanessa Stewart, who originated the role of Keeley Smith, along with Hackford, co-writer, producer, and director, and Jake Broder, who originated the role of Louis Prima, and will feature some of the duo's greatest hits, including That Old Black Magic, Hey Boy, Hey Girl, What Is This Thing Called Love, Night Train, I Can't Believe You're in Love with Me, and more. Frank Sinatra also appears in a pivotal role in this musical's love story. Lewis and Keeley Live at the Sahara features a hot seven-piece live band that is guaranteed to bring down the house. Louis Prima was one of the great musical innovator entrepreneurs of the 20th century, from his beginnings in New Orleans jazz to becoming the toast of New York's 52nd Street in the 30s to appearances in Hollywood feature films in the late 30s and his scandalous love affair with Jean Harlow to leading one of the most popular big bands of the 40s swing era. However, by the early 50s, his star seemed to be fading, until he discovered teenager Keeley Smith in a tiny Virginia beach dive. In Pygmalion-like fashion, Prima finessed Keeley's stage fright and then molded her natural singing talent into a totally unique stage presence. Together, they turned a two-week gig on the floor of the Sahara Hotel's casino in Las Vegas into one of the most influential musical acts of the 50s and 60s. 10 years later, Sonny and Cher basically copied their act. Prima and Smith's hot act on stage inevitably grew into a hot love story, and this musical play reveals their joy, thrills, and chills, and ultimately their heartbreak. Lewis and Keeley Live at the Sahara is an American love story that not only packs an emotional wallop, but also features incredible music, staggeringly performed, that will have you dancing all the way home. A man whose distinctive entertainment virtuosity not only sets the standard, but defines the essence of excellence in movies, theater, and film that spans generations. It's both a joy and an honor to welcome the Academy Award-winning director, Mr. Taylor Hackford. Taylor, welcome to the Kevin Moore Show.
Thank you, Kevin, very much. I'm thrilled to be here.
It's great to have you, and I guess we start out with welcome to Chicago.
Oh, I love Chicago. I mean, although when I first arrived to do the initial rehearsals, there was spring weather. I thought, how nice. And, of course, we just got a little snow, but what a great city.
We're a little deceiving. Have you spent time here before?
I have on occasion, but not in an extended time. I've never shot in Chicago. But I'll tell you why I'm here. Keeley Smith is a very good friend of mine.
And she's still around. I didn't realize she's still alive. That's great.
She's in her late 80s, and she lives in Palm Springs. Mm-hmm. But what a wonderful woman. But, you know, she told me a lot of the material that's in this play, things that hadn't been published before, things that are very, I think, interesting for both Keeley fans, but basically pretty dramatic. If you don't know them, I think you'll end up by finding there's a lot of relevance in their lives to, you know, classic entertainment genres like A Star is Born or Pygmalion. But Keeley told me that Chicago was Louis and Keeley's favorite city. And, you know, it's funny because they played Vegas. They knew Vegas. He was from New Orleans. He lived in New Jersey, and they knew New York. But she said that when Louis and Keeley's particular brand of entertainment hit Chicago, they just got this response that was overwhelming. It was something about their style and the warmth and the big heart that Chicago has that always made them extend and extend until finally when they had to leave because they had other engagements, some people in Chicago were upset with them. They said, hey, we've already extended three times. But when she said that, it struck me that, you know, I did this show originally as a developmental production, a little show in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. We had great response. We played for 8 months, and we won, you know, we won the top theater award there for the best musical. But this is a much bigger production, and when I decided that I would go up in seating capacity, I think of Chicago as the greatest theater town in America. And it's twofold. You're frightened because the people here really know theater. They care about it, they go, and they're very discerning. On the other hand, Chicagoans have, as I said, as Keeley said, a big heart. And when they like something, they give it a bear hug. So I decided to bring it here, and hoping for that bear hug.
Well, you know, you're going to get that because our good friend Hershey Fowler has been hugged for years here.
Yes.
And he's had great success. But, you know, it's interesting you say that they had such an affinity for Chicago, Taylor, because that was where they kind of reinvented themselves, and it was at Don Roth's Black Hawk restaurant where they had the spinning salad bowl. Mike, I'm half Irish and half Italian, and my Italian side, my grandmother and grandfather used to watch Louis and Keeley and talk about them, and I remember that vaguely, but never paid any attention to it because of a little different generational situation, you know. But they were very, very popular here because we had a lot of clubs here they could play in.
Well, I'll tell you something. It's interesting. Anthony Crivello, who plays Louis Prima, and listen, any Italian, especially a Sicilian Italian, they know Louis Prima because they grew up, their aunts and uncles and grandparents and parents, you know, were playing Louis Prima in the house. And, you know, and as you were saying, you know, you have it in your bones. So it always helps as a director when you have that extra motivation. Tony Crivello is a Tony winner. You know, he won the Tony for Kiss of the Spider Woman, and he's been in The Phantom, and he's done Evita. He's a veteran, and he's from Milwaukee originally.
Oh, really?
And then cut his theater teeth in Chicago before going to New York. But I have this little angel on my shoulder, and it's all the Italian Americans who are saying to Tony, "You better, if you're going to play Louis Prima, you better do it right." And you can feel he's got that pressure. Which is a wonderful motivation.
Well, you're going to be successful if for no other reason at all. The Paisan's going to come to see you from Chicago.
That would be fine with me. Listen, it's a double-edged sword. One, they are coming with expectations that Louis Prima is, you know, that indelible figure, that incredible entertainer that he was. And I'm here to tell you, I think our show is going to deliver that. Tony Crivello is great. We've got a live 7-piece jazz band on stage. Mostly Chicago musicians, and man, can they cook. They can really play.
And nobody's done it before, Taylor. We haven't seen Louis Prima and Keeley Smith for years, and now you've regenerated that interest, and people want to revisit that, the old Ed Sullivan show and the old shows that we see, because you can see them on YouTube. And in fact, I did it this morning before we were going to talk. I said, let me go back and see some of the shows, and I saw him singing with Frank Sinatra, the three of them, and that those are old, you know, memories that people still have.
That moment of the three doing that trio is in the show. You know, the thing that Keeley told me, which was fascinating, is, you know, Frank was a friend of both of theirs for a long time. And you know, Louis encouraged her solo career, you know, and Frank produced the album. And everything was fine, you know, in terms of friendship. But when she got to be a big solo act, even Louis had designed it, but he was jealous. In that instance where someone becomes a bigger star than you and you never expect it, there was that heartbreak that happened in their relationship, which, in fact, we cover in this. That's why I call this a musical play, not just a musical. You'll have a great time. You're going to rock out. You're going to want to get up and dance. But at the same time, you'll shed a couple of tears because this was a great love story. And when that bittersweet moment happens, when it breaks apart, it's painful. you want them to stay together. And so all of those things are part of this show, which means I think you're really going to have a fantastic opportunity to enjoy. But mostly for me, just as you were saying, I saw Louis Prima on the Ed Sullivan Show.
All right.
I was so taken. I was in junior high school in a talent contest, and I did a little Louis Prima impersonation. He had that effect. My mother was a big Keeley Smith fan, so her solo albums I grew up listening to. I think when someone has a unique quotient, a really great style, it never goes out of style. You know, today, young people listen to Jimi Hendrix or to Janis Joplin, and they go, oh, that's not my generation, but man, that is cool. And all those young teenagers start listening. Same thing with Louis and Keeley. You realize that Sonny and Cher copied their act from Louis and Prima.
Exactly. Exactly.
They modeled their act and unabashedly said so. And they were huge, Sonny and Cher. But they got it from Louis and Keeley. And I find that when this show played, when it played in Los Angeles, of course, older people come at the beginning because they remember these people. But along the line, they start bringing younger people, you know, their grandchildren or their children. And all of a sudden, these young people go, hey, this is hip. And I watch the medium age of the audience start to go down as younger and younger people come, because this music never goes out of style.
Well, the guy very much spanned generations. In the 20s, he was doing New Orleans jazz. In the 30s, he was doing the swinging combo beat. In the 40s, he was doing the big band. In the 50s, he was a Vegas lounge act. In the 60s, it was pop and rock. In fact, if people remember, and if you think about it, they will, he was in the Disney as King Louie in the Jungle Book.
Yeah, I'm the king of the swinging.
Right. So he spanned generations, and not everybody can do that.
It was the nickname that Louis Prima had was, this cat's got nine lives. And he did. He kept inventing, reinventing himself. And that's impossible. How do you have a five-decade career? In the show business, it doesn't happen. Louis Prima had this drive for some reason, and he was an entertainer. I think that's the thing. People forget that he was a great musician. He wrote Sing, 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 which was Benny Goodman's theme song and was the anthem of the swing era. You know, as a musician, he was deeply respected. But Louis had that same quotient that his idol Louis Armstrong had. He understood that you could be a great musician, but you've got to entertain people. And so he had no problem playing the clown. He had no problem getting up there. But if you, you know, the thing that's what made the act so great. He, you know, Keeley had horrible stage fright.
Mm-hmm.
So he, you know, he made this act where she stood there like a cigar store Indian, came out with this beautiful voice, and then he danced around her as the jester.
Right.
And people would crack up, and at the same time, all this is happening with the hippest music. They weren't sacrificing the music. The music was there. And Louis can make a six-piece, seven-piece band sound like a big band. So when you come to see the show, you're going to want to get up and dance, and these as they say, these cats will blow you out of your seats. The musicians are great. And at the same time, you're going to laugh. And Tony Curbelo, as you know, I'm talking about this, has to embody Louis, and he does a brilliant job.
Now, who portrays Keeley?
Keeley is my writing partner, Vanessa Claire Stewart. She conceived the show originally. She's from New Orleans. She grew up knowing that Louis Prima was one of her, comrades in arms, coming from, Louis's very famous in New Orleans because he's a favorite son who went out and made good,
mm-hmm.
right? Like Louis Armstrong did, and she conceived this idea. I saw the show originally as a musical review. In other words, it was just them doing a bunch of songs, and that was terrific. But I thought that within this was a great play, a great dramatic work of, as I said, Pygmalion, A Star Is Born. Of a veteran who is, you know, by the time he met Keeley, Louis had fallen from grace. He had sold out the Steel Pier in Atlantic City,
mm-hmm.
25,000 people.
Wow.
His big band. By this time, he shrunk his band down to six members. His mother was booking them in these dives. He'd really fallen on hard times, and so he had again to reinvent himself. And rock and roll was first coming in. So with Keeley as a teenager, you know, there was no romantic involvement at the beginning. You know,
he
saw in her a chance to lower the age of his audience. He incorporated elements of rock and roll, you know, guitar and the steaming sax. He had a really great sax player named Sam Butera that he pulled out of New Orleans, who really embodies all that great R&B saxophone from the rock and roll of the early 50s.
Sam Buter and the Witnesses.
Exactly.
Right, right, okay.
And so what you end up by having is Louis reinventing himself again. He's still got those great jazz licks, but he's added rock and roll, he's added R&B, and he's added an act with Keeley that's both funny and at the same time it touches you. And that's great.
Why did they fall out of favor with each other?
Well, I think that I said before, what happened was that her solo career, he encouraged her to have the solo mm-hmm. career. She had these albums that went out. And listen, Keeley Smith was a very, very successful songstress. You know, just to tell you how much, Ella Fitzgerald basically said she was a great singer, and they were very close friends.
Okay.
Sarah Vaughan. You know, when Sarah Vaughan and Ella Fitzgerald say to the world, this is a great singer, you are.
Yeah, I'll say.
You
right.
are. And so Keeley went out, and she started selling a lot of solo records. And from her point of view, Louis was responsible. Louis's the one who wasn't responsible for her voice, but he was responsible for her musicality and her hipness and her ability to sing in front of a big band. So she was happy with his success. She felt was theirs. He, on the other hand, all of a sudden, she was the headliner in their act. Because you know what happens when you have a hit record. You know, they're going to promote that hit record.
Sure,
all of
sure.
a sudden, instead of Louis Prima and the Witnesses featuring Keeley Smith, it was Keeley Smith featuring Louis Prima and the Witnesses. He couldn't take it.
Yeah.
And with that, he started philandering. And ultimately, she couldn't take that, and they broke apart. And, you know, it's interesting because I've known Keeley for a long time. She was married a couple of times after that, mm-hmm. so was he. But I don't think she ever met a man that was, to her, what Louis Prima was. There was a, you know, that's why I think the show works so well at the end. It's a bittersweet ending, but you know, like in The Way We Were, you know that Streisand and Redford should have stayed together.
Absolutely.
And that's
Absolutely.
How you feel here.
And very much, as you said more than once, it's A Star Is Born, the story,
yeah.
and very very similar to that. I didn't realize that Louis Prima played with Frank Sinatra at JFK's inaugural.
Yes. Well, what happened was that Frank invited Louis and Keeley to do Old Black Magic for Jack Kennedy's inaugural. And, of course, who's going to say no to Frank Sinatra?
Right, right, right.
And again, Frank was a friend. And ultimately, you know, you will find he was more than that for Keeley after Louis and Keeley broke up. And all those things are revealed in the play and have never been published before. So it's nice to have a few revelations when you go to the theater. But in any event, they were, as I said, a big act, certainly among all entertainers. You know, in Las Vegas, when the big showrooms got out, everybody went to the floor of the casino at the Sahara to see Louis and Keeley. It was just the hippest act. And the thing that's interesting, they did 7 shows a night.
A night?
Starting at 11:30 and ending at 5:30 in the morning.
Good Lord.
You know, that's where people, you know, entertainers are real troopers, all right?
I'll say.
And at the same time, they lived a normal life, or let's call it a normal life for Las Vegas.
Yeah.
They had 2 girls. They would go home at 5:30. They would, you know, cook breakfast, get the girls up, feed them breakfast, get them ready for school, send them off, and then go to bed. Sleep during the day, wake up, get, you know, meet the girls when they came home from school, cook them dinner, read them bedtime stories, put them to bed, and go to work.
Wow.
And it worked. You know, it may not be the normal life of most people,
sure.
but in the early world of Las Vegas, they were able to find something to work. And when you think about it, entertainers are always on the road. They're
yeah.
always traveling. That's why their marriages are so tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a way, in Vegas, because they were playing one gig, they could have a family. And like I said, that family, Keeley was a great mother. She cared about her girls. And at the same time, finally, when Louis just, you know, made it too difficult for them, they had to split up. But, you know, I got all this from the horse's mouth. I got it from Keeley Smith.
Did you spend time with her at her home? And I imagine numerous times you spent with her going over the story and
yes.
infusing them into the yes. your production?
I did. I went out to Palm Springs. I met with her. I met her both in Los Angeles and in Palm Springs. And I then had the great fortune. You know, she's in her late 80s now.
Mm-hmm.
She's 8. I don't want to give I won't give her exact date.
Sure,
how
sure.
women are about their age. But, you know, when she was 78, she did a big concert at the McCallum Theater in the desert out there in Palm Springs. It's a big opera house.
Mm-hmm.
It's big. You know, probably 2,000, 2,500, 3,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And she was with a 50-piece orchestra. And I thought, oh, my God, you know, in her late 70s, is she going to be able to do this?
By herself?
By her, you know, standing up and fronting a big band.
Wow.
You know, it had big string section and horn section and the whole thing. It was an amazing thing to see. I mean, she stood in front of that band, and they swung. And you could tell she was in total and complete control. It was an amazing thing to see. My wife is an actress, and a good one.
And may I introduce your wife, Helen Mirren, of course, the great Academy Award winner, who's better at Elizabeth than anybody?
Yes, that's my wife, and she's fantastic. But she was with me for this concert, and she looked at me and she said, listen, when I'm 80 years old, if I could do that, I would be happy, you know? I mean, she was so amazed at looking at Keeley on stage with that orchestra and having such control. It was a revelation.
Did she miss it, or does she miss it?
Oh, I'm sure she does.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you could see her, you know, she wasn't performing very much at that point.
Yeah.
To stand up and all of a sudden you could see her gain in strength and in energy and in kind of in artistry. The longer the concert went on. First number was a little rocky because she had to get control of the band.
Sure, sure.
And then all of a sudden she was flawless. And you could see that music. You know, I believe that music is a great salving force. Music is emotion. You know, music is the thing that we score our lives to, whether it's a hit record or something you put on, you know, your CD or, you know, your MP3 or whatever, you know, technology you have today. We always carry our music with us because it gives us the right moods. We play it when we're down and want it to bring us up. And I really believe that with people in this industry. That music washing over you, whether it's great conductors or it's performers, you know, makes them live to a ripe old age because somehow it rejuvenates you.
What's that old saying? When words fail, music speaks.
That's right.
And very, very true. And I think that you're in a situation there as she was. Everybody wants her to succeed, Taylor. Yeah. Everybody's behind her. Everybody's in front of her. Everybody's hugging her to do a good, great job. And she just rises to that occasion because that's what's ingrained in her.
Well, it is interesting that after Louis and Keeley split, he wasn't happy to have her performing, you know, in the same town. And of course, he was in Las Vegas, and he didn't make it easy for her to perform. Plus the fact she had gotten this feeling that she needed him. You know, he was the rock that she counted on musically. Even though it wasn't necessary. She'd done, you know, her solo albums without him, but still. So she didn't perform for a while, and her big comeback in Vegas was some affair. Ella Fitzgerald, Frank Sinatra, all these people were in the front row welcoming her back, and she didn't think she could get up. She got up, and of course, from that moment on, she had a great solo career herself. But it's interesting, you know, when you've been kind of molded by one hand, and then you have to go out on your own. Even though she knew she was terrific, she still needed that support from all those other performers to say, hey, Keeley, you're great. Get out there and do it.
You know, in the theater you're in, the Royal George Theater, which Hershey Felder has had so much success in. It's a very intimate space where, although it's a theater of a few hundred seats, it's very welcoming in the fact that you, as an audience member, almost feel participatory in the production. That's what makes going to make it so great for the people who come to see this, for their participation in the play.
I think the great thing about the Royal George is, I mean, it's just under 500 seats. But you know what? There's not a bad seat in the house.
Right.
It's wide, you're close to the stage, the entertainers are right there, and believe me, I get them right up on the edge of the stage, the thrust, and they're engaging the audience. But I think there's something wonderful, and you know what, my partner, Hershey Felder, who he's probably done 3,000 performances in this theater.
Right,
you know?
Right,
and,
right.
Yeah, but he would be, it's always been on me to you have to pardon me, but, you know, for tickets, you have to call 312-988-9000. That's 312-988-9000. Because, you know, I want to stay here. This is a commercial run. Hershey and I are putting this show up. We're both kind of putting our money where our heart and passion is. And at the same time, we're going to play for 6 weeks. If Chicago embraces us, we're going to stay forever. I think that this is the kind of show that if the town of Chicago, the city of Chicago, falls in love with us, and they did it with a $1 Million Quartet, and that's fantastic.
This
is that kind of show. This is a feel-good, really entertained, you know, it's going to entertain you. And at the same time, like I said, it's not just a mindless musical. You're going to have some emotion you feel, too. So when you go to the theater, and you can laugh and want to dance and shed a few tears, and then laugh again, it's a great night. And second of all, it's between 95 and 100 minutes, no intermission. So you can, you know, get up the next morning, go to work, or you can go out afterwards and have dinner. It's not one of those commitments that you're going to spend 3 hours there and then have to do 2 days to recover. It's one of those pieces of entertainment that I think really has a great shot, and it's aimed at entertaining an audience.
Well, it's a good time, too, Taylor, because it's in spring. People want to get out of spring. We've been cooped up all winter. It's been a kind of a rough winter here in Chicago, and we want to get out. We want to see some great theater. You know, I go to a lot of theater and so forth, and sometimes I walk out of the theater and go, oh, gee, what, I just spent 2 hours doing that or 3 hours doing that. Here, you're going to feel good, and as theater should make you feel good about yourself having spent the last 2 hours or hour and a half doing it. And I think that's what this musical is going to make you feel like. You know, there's great restaurants around the Royal George, and it's a great place, and hopefully it'll play all summer, and hopefully it'll be here. You know, we had Wicked here for a long time, and I don't know why they ever moved it, because it could still be playing, but, you know, I guess there's economics involved and so forth.
I'll tell you this, as long as we're getting audiences in Chicago, you know, come on out to North Halsted, to the Royal George, and we're going to stay as long as we've got audiences, because, listen, I really believe this is the greatest theater town in America. And if we can make it here, if we can play here to this sophisticated audience and get them to fall in love with this show, that's enough for me. Not that we won't tour the show in the future, but I'd love to stay here and install this show because I'm banking on Keeley Smith's recommendation. Chicagoans have a big heart and they love Louis and Keeley. Well, we're about to find out.
Well, we'll do what we can to get the word out. Now, tell me one thing, though. How did you get hooked up with the impresario, Hershey Felder, because he's a character, too?
I did. yes, he is. He's a great character. And you know what? He's a mensch. Hershey is something really interesting. He harkens back to that old English tradition of the performer manager. You know, he does everything himself.
Right.
And he's amazing. I was doing the developmental show of Louis and Keeley at the Geffen Theater in Los Angeles. Gil Cates, who was the artistic director, is a very good friend. And Hershey was in the big room. He was doing his Gershwin show. And we met and hit it off. And Hershey came and saw Louis and Keeley, and he said to me, listen, I think it's a terrific show. I think it has real potential. Now, we met there. Now, in the interim, I went off and did 2 feature films and 2 TV pilots. And Hershey went off and did 2 or 3, you know, theatrical shows.
Right.
His latest is on Irving Berlin, and he's fantastic. He hasn't been to Chicago yet, but wait until you see him do Irving Berlin. But Hershey and I became friends. And, you know, he called me at the beginning of this year and said, hey, what about Louis and Keeley? And we started talking. I told him about Keeley Smith and her love of Chicago. He said, hey, I played a lot of performances at the Royal George. Why don't we go there? He knew Margaret Cotter, the owner.
Right.
And that's how we've come here. So, you know, in a way, Hershey and I are partners on this project. He is the designer of the set. You know, we're working side by side. I'm dealing with the actors and all the musical numbers and all of that. And when you have as much theater experience. You know, I have all the experience in the world in movies. Theater I love, and I know what I want, but you always need people around you who know more. It always helps. The first time you walk on a movie set, you know, your cinematographer, your AD, they've made many films, you're making your first. I know how to make a decision, and I know how to say, listen, I appreciate your point of view, but I want it this way. But I want those people around me who know. So at least I hear the various things. And Hershey, as you know, is not bashful.
Well, I'd like to say that if he has one quality, it's presence. I first met him, of course, when he did George Gershwin and introduced him to, I sat on the board of the Chicago College of the Performing Arts at Roosevelt University, where a lot of young people are learning acting, and I brought him over, and he did such a great job because he's not hesitant, Taylor, to share his talents with young people and help them along. And a lot of people won't do that. You know, they're very proprietary in their talents and so forth.
You can't do that. You know, listen, we are guardians. You know, when we work, and I feel this way about new filmmakers or any new artists who are on the scene, you know, we're guardians. We're on the stage for a period of time, and I'm not talking about theater. I mean the stage as a career, whether you're in film or you're in music or you're in drama on stage. you own the stage for a period of time if you're lucky, if you're successful, if you're talented. But you've got to pass that mantle on, because there's new people are going to come on that will hopefully take it to higher levels, or at least, you know, so they don't forget, at least to the same level, if you've reached a high level. I was president of the Directors Guild for, I've been involved with the Directors Guild forever, and I was president for 4 years. I love filmmakers, and I want to encourage them. I want to bring new people, you know, into the profession, because you want that profession to grow. So, you know, Hershey's generous on that level, and so am I, by the way. When I have to talk to students or I'm trying to encourage people to pursue this profession, it's a tough profession. Mm. But on the other hand, if it's very rewarding. It, you know, it can be punishing. It can be, you know, you can really lick your wounds if they get slapped. But, you know, the people that stay in it and are talented are the ones who kind of get back up, get off the canvas, get back up, and knock people out, using a boxing term. They come back up, and they are talented enough to say, all right, I'm better than that, and I'll jump into the fire one more time. And out of that come these, you know, historic, whether it's a film or a play or a musical or, you know, a jazz piece. You know, that's the history of entertainment. And people think you're crazy to be in it, and I think we probably are crazy. But, you know, it takes a certain type.
Get back up one more time than you fall. You know, we are who we are because we stand on the shoulders of those who've come before us. Everybody helped each other. You got help from people when you were starting out, as did I, as did Hershey, and they're not hesitant to give back a little bit with that.
Right.
You know, it's just been delightful chatting with you. I hope maybe we could have, there's a great Italian restaurant down the street. Maybe we could have dinner or something as you're in Chicago, because
I'd love
it's
it.
A
well, I'm here.
Great place.
You know, just, but I'm we're opening previews tomorrow night.
Yeah, it'll be busy.
312-988-9000. But give us a couple of days of more previews. We open April 7th, and I know by April 7th we're going to have something incredible to show the people of Chicago.
Continuing in a tradition of storytelling and music, Hershey Felder will present the Chicago stage premiere of Academy Award-winning director Taylor Hackford's Lewis and Keeley live at the Sahara. Hackford, best known for his films An Officer and a Gentleman, Against All Odds, and cinematic musical events such as La Bamba, Chuck Berry, Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll, and his epic musical Ray, has decided to bring his latest award-winning musical stage production to Chicago, where Louis Prima and Keeley Smith created sold-out musical magic in the 50s and 60s. The production will begin previews on March 27th and open Tuesday, April 7th at 7:30 at Chicago's Royal George Theater, 1641 North Halsted. The play is co-written by Vanessa Stewart, who originated the role of Keeley Smith, along with Hackford, co-writer, director, and producer, and Jake Broder, who originated the role of Louis Prima, and will feature some of the duo's greatest hits, including That Old Black Magic, Hey Boy, Hey Girl, What Is This Thing Called Love, and I Can't Believe You're in Love with Me, and more. Frank Sinatra also appears in a pivotal role in this musical love story. Lewis and Keeley Live at the Sahara features a hot 7-piece live band that is guaranteed to bring down the house. Taylor, as I said, it's been both a joy and a pleasure to spend some time chatting with you, and from myself and all our listeners, and certainly from all your fans, I thank you for sharing your unique talents with all of us, and enjoy your time in Chicago. We'll reconnect, and again, the phone number for the Royal George for tickets is 312-988-9000. We'll keep getting the word out, and please tell Hershey we said hello.
I will. Kevin, thanks so much.
Thank you, my pal.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Taylor Hackford, one of the great theater and music and film directors in America. Again, as I said, An Officer and a Gentleman and La Bamba and The Devil's Advocate and Against All Odds. And now, Louis and Keeley live at the Sahara at the Royal George Theater, 1641 North Halsted, one block north of North Avenue, across from the Steppenwolf Theater. Should be a great time, because what an entertainer Louis Prima was. You can go on YouTube and get some pictures of what he did on the Ed Sullivan Show with Keeley Smith and Frank Sinatra. Something different in Chicago, and certainly it's got to be good, because our good friend Hershey Felder is a part of it. So, again, for information, 312-988-9000. Just a delight chatting with Taylor Hackford. Well, keeping with our theme from Easter, a little Easter story. Three men died and are awaiting judgment. St. Peter tells them that to get into heaven, each must describe the meaning of Easter. The first man says, "Every Easter we celebrate the birth of the baby Jesus. We decorate an Easter tree, sing Easter carols, hang Easter stockings, send Easter cards." He is cut off as St. Peter, scowling, presses a button and dispatches him to hell. The next man begins, nervously, "To commemorate Easter, the Chicago River is painted green, festive Easter corned beef and cabbage is consumed, and green Easter beer is drunk. His speech is interrupted as he, too, is projected down to the pit. This leaves a third man. Good Friday. The Romans crucified our Lord Jesus Christ, the man begins. He appeared to be dead, and his followers, deeply saddened, took him to a cave, placed his body in the cave, and rolled a giant rock in the entrance. Very good, says St. Peter, encouragingly. His followers kept a vigil for 2 days and nights in front of the cave, says the third man, growing in confidence. On Easter Sunday, they were amazed to see the stone roll away. And there was Jesus, alive. He came out of the cave. Excellent, says St. Peter, reaching for the key to heaven. Yes, said the man, continuing. Jesus came out of the cave, looked around, saw his shadow, which meant 6 more weeks of winter. A little chuckle for Easter as we look forward to that celebration. Giordano Dance Chicago, America's original jazz dance company, returns to the Harris Theater for Music and Dance, 205 East Randall, for its spring engagement, March 27th through the 29th. This exhilarating program will include the American premiere of The Only Round Is Through, an inspiring 9-member work choreographed by company member Joshua Blake Carter with concept and structure by our good friend Nan Giordano. The Only Way Around Is Through is comprised of 3 movements and depicts the critical life-affirming role human connection plays in helping us deal with chronic illness and move beyond movements of overwhelming isolation and despair to a bright new future, says Giordano. GDC has always found the experience of performing works from our repertoire at Dance for Life events very fulfilling. However, creating this piece with its very origins based on personal accounts of those dealing with debilitating disease really changed us all, and we look forward to sharing this extraordinary new work with our audiences in our upcoming concerts. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning businessman, advocate for Chicago's performing arts community, professional dancer, musician, arts administrator, dance educator, board member and arts patron, Peace Corps volunteer, degree geologist, entrepreneur, marketing professional, a person sincerely dedicated in sharing his love for the arts with others, and the executive director of Giordano Dance Chicago, now presenting their spring engagement at the Harris Theater for Music and Dance, 205 East Randolph, March 27th through Sunday the 29th, our good friend, Mr. Michael McStraw. Michael, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. Great program coming up. It's certainly a lot of great things. And let's start out with the first program, Alloy, of course, by Autumn Ekman, who is a frequent contributor to GDC and an assistant artistic director.
Correct. Well, actually, Autumn has moved on to other things. She's no longer the assistant artistic director with the organization, but she has a special place in this organization's heart. And as you've mentioned, she has contributed, I think, 8 different works to our rep. So she's very much a part of the organization. Alloy is a duet for Megan McHale and Devin Buchanan. And, you know, you never know what you're going to get with jazz dance, because it is dance to works by Mendelssohn and Beethoven. Mm. So you have American jazz dance paired with classical music. A very exciting, beautiful two-part duet that really talks about the two bodies being so different from one another, but coming together and forming something new. Thus the name Alloy.
And her most recent work before this was Moving Sidewalks in the fall series, right? Fall.
That's correct.
Right, that's correct.
She had created Moving Sidewalks, which was a work about Pilsen. It was a very exciting work, which she had gone back in the history and found out why all the sidewalks in the Pilsen neighborhood were built up as they were.
Right.
And it turns out they had these floods in the 1800s,
right.
And instead of moving, they went upward.
Vaulted sidewalks. That's right. That's what they were. Yeah. And the one I mentioned earlier, The Only Way Around Is Through. For the specially challenged people, of course, and it's all part of our lives and so forth, and choreographed by Joshua Blake Carter, who's a company member, and, of course, with Nan.
That's correct. So The Only Way Around Is Through is a wonderful project we've been part of. It's part of an international project that has over 100 artists from 35 countries all contributing to taking patient stories and talking through art as to what it's like to be living with, burdened by some form of a life-threatening disease.
Wow, that's great.
And we had met with some patients and had learned their stories, and we've been given the honor and the privilege of translating those very real stories about the burden, the stigma, the hope of a life-threatening disease, but taking that and abstracting that and making it more universal through the language of dance. Very exciting project, very beautiful. It's a piece that begins out appropriately kind of on the dark side, but then it moves through the hope that the patients told us about. The patients told us firsthand what it's like to move through that process.
Mm-hmm.
And the really neat thing about the work, too, is where the title came from. It's actually a slight paraphrase from a 100-year-old poem from the American poet Robert Frost. It was a poem from 1915 called A Servant to Servants, in which the main character, who had been dealing with her own form of life-threatening issues, was told by her husband in this hyper-optimistic way, the best way around is through, to which she responded, no, the only way round is through.
Wow, that's great.
So we thought that was an appropriate title for this work.
You know, that's terrific. The great poet laureate from America,
yeah,
Robert Frost,
yeah.
Stopping by the woods on a snowy evening and... The Road Less Traveled, a great
you never know where he's going to crop up.
Wow, that's the truth. That's great. And this is a world premiere.
It's a world premiere. Yeah. We had billed it as an American premiere, but the international performance didn't quite materialize, so this indeed is a world premiere on this program at the Harris.
And from Ray Mercer, Shirt Off My Back, dealing with relationships.
Very exciting, too. Ray Mercer is a 12-year veteran performer with The Lion King on Broadway.
Hmm.
And we were so thrilled to have scooped him up and brought him in to create a new work on us. He had created the work in November. It premiered at the Auditorium Theater at the end of January, but we're bringing it back to the Harris stage. And it's for 11 dancers. And it talks about what it's like to be in relationships where you give your all. You're literally giving the shirt off your back. And it has an exciting finish from a composer on the East Coast. His name is Bongi Duma. Who's been involved with Ray as composer and friend for a number of years, and it's a polyrhythmic blast of a piece that just takes the viewer to this really wonderful ending of this piece.
Well, Ray must come from a great pedigree because, as you can imagine, I see a lot of theater, and never in comparison have I ever been touched in a theater. When you sit in a theater for The Lion King, and the beginning, when all the animals come into the theater, it gives you goosebumps.
Yeah. Yeah,
it really does, and my children feel the same way. And this is going to be exciting, very exciting.
Ray is an award-winning choreographer and performer. He actually won the Joffrey Ballet's Choreographers of Color competition. I think it was in 2012. So he is highly regarded for his choreography, and we feel very honored to have him adding to our rep.
And of course, touching on and kind of. Drawing from television, So You Think You Can Dance. Mm-hmm. Mia Michaels, the Emmy Award winner, La Grande Future, is here.
Oh, that, you know, that's a wonderful piece we've had in our rep since 1999. Mia Michaels was someone who connected early on with Gus Giordano as she was beginning her career, and she's gone on to great things. You know, she's choreographed for So You Think You Can Dance, America's Got Talent. She's done all sorts of commercial work, and this is a very sly, futuristic look, also at relationships, but it's... one of our favorites.
And, of course, Liz Imperios, and you've presented this before in your various programs, La Belleza de Cuba.
La Belleza de Cuba, yeah, the beauty of Cuba. Liz has a Cuban-American heritage, and she thought, what better way to celebrate that, no better way to celebrate that, than to bring it to the stage and talk about the sensuality and the rhythmic complexity of the Cuban music and dance heritage. It's one of our favorites. And, you know, you've now hit on Ray and Liz and Mia, and, of course, Ray Leeper is our last choreographer who fits into the category of commercial. You know, we're on the concert dance side, and these four artists are on the commercial side. That means television, stage, film, and, you know, many of them have worked with Cher and Madonna and Jennifer Lopez, et cetera, but they have the choreographic ability to bridge over to the concert dance side and create exciting work. So Liz Imperio is definitely one of the people in our fold. Also someone who was influenced early on by Gus Giordano.
Do you find, historically speaking, Michael, that people recognize the talent that's exhibited with Giordano dance, and just like Jennifer Lopez or Cher, Gloria Estefan and Madonna, they draw some of your students to their programs and so forth?
Oh, we do. We do. The influence to this organization and from this organization really is one of the parts of our legacy, I think, that is most exciting. The company just performed in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, at Southeastern Missouri State University on Tuesday evening. We had 450 so students in the audience from the American College Dance Association from multiple states, and the excitement of having younger performers in with us and them learning the Giordano technique, them learning and witnessing our rep, and then going forth and going back to their communities. That's how the legacy of this organization has been perpetuated. Those folks go off, they do things, then they come back, and maybe 20 years from now they'll be a guest choreographer.
You were that same student sitting in those seats not too long ago, as was I, as was Nan, and with nothing more than dreams, thinking, maybe I could do that. And those kids are saying the same thing, and you're allowing them to have that exposure.
Absolutely.
What's exciting coming up for Giordano in the next few months?
Oh, my gosh. Well, with this program, we'll be closing out our 52nd season. Then we give the dancers a few months off. We'll come back hot and heavy in August. We'll be hopefully back with Dance for Life at the Auditorium Theater in August. And then we have performances at the Harris in October and the following March. And then in June 2016, we'll be making a return engagement at the Auditorium Theater as part of their Made in Chicago series.
You know, I don't always like to mention this because of the fact that you were so engaged in this, and that's the fact that you and Nan and your whole group are involved in actively in outreach and education programs in the public schools and so forth, based on the old saying that we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And you're so very, very participatory in that. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing there.
We have a program called Jazz Dance Science and Health that is now in its 10th year. We are in three Chicago public schools, one school in Edgewater, one in Logan Square, and one in Englewood, Auburn, Gresham. And it is a program that teaches 4th, 5th, and 7th grade state-mandated curriculum on science, health, and nutrition through a dance-centric program. So it doesn't take place in the gym. It takes place in their science classrooms.
Really?
Kids learn about the bones, the muscles, the respiratory system, the pulse rate, good nutrition, good hydration. And we've been doing this program for 10 years. And I did say the dancers are off contract, but actually some of them will be moving into the school program the day after we get done with the Harris. So.
That's great. And I bet you they enjoy sharing their talents with them.
Oh, yes. We really do. We really do.
Giordano Dance Chicago, now entering its 52nd year, is one of the longest-running professional dance companies in Chicago and one of the very few dance companies in the United States to have achieved this milestone. Giordano Dance Chicago, currently under the leadership of Artistic Director Nan Giordano and Executive Director Michael McStraw, is a world-class dance company and a driving force in Chicago's thriving performing arts community. The company's new works continually expand the boundaries of jazz and contemporary dance. The company also has an active outreach and education program in three Chicago public schools. Giordano Dance Chicago's administrative office is located at 1509 South Michigan, Chicago South Loop. And for information or further programs, call 312-922-1332. And on the line with us right now is our good friend Michael McStraw. Michael, maybe a website if people like to get some information?
Absolutely. They can come to the Giordano website, which is giordanodance.org. That's G-I-O-R-D-A-N-O. Or for the performances this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Harris Theater, they can go to harristheaterchicago.org for tickets.
It's going to be a great weekend, as it always is with Giordano Dance Chicago, your spring engagement, something that everyone looks forward to, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And again, for information, or get tickets, 312-334-7777. Michael, always a pleasure to have you on the show. And if you ever need anything, as I'm sure Ann Fink will take care of it, we'll be able to chat. And I apologize. I always get that wrong. La Baeza de Cuba.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no. It's a tongue twister.
I emailed her this morning and said, please give me the pronunciation of this so I get it right. And I blew. But anyway, nonetheless, I wish you a happy Easter, my pal, and continued success. And tell Nan I said hello.
Will do, Kevin. Thank you so much for having us.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Michael.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Michael McStraw, the Executive Director of Giordano Dance Chicago, now presenting their spring engagement at the Harris Theater for Music and Dance, 205 East Randolph, March 27th through the 29th. For information, 312-334-7777. I thank Ann Fink for always arranging a conversation. Michael's always a delight to chat with. Well, that about does it for our show today. I thank you for sharing this last hour with me and hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed this time as much as I have. I'd especially like to thank our guest, Taylor Hackford, the Academy Award-winning director, for such great films as An Officer and a Gentleman, Against All Odds, The Devil's Advocate, and his epic musical, Ray, who with Hershey Felder, who we're familiar with from his shows George Gershwin Alone and Maestro Bernstein, will be at the Royal George Theater with their newest musical production, Louis Prima and Keeley Smith Live at the Sahara. 1641 North Halsted, one block north of North Avenue, across from the Steppenwolf Theater, opens Tuesday, April 7th. Should be a terrific evening in the theater, talking about and learning about Louis Prima and Keeley Smith. For information, 312-988-9000. Delightful chatting with Taylor Hackford. And Michael McStraw, the executive director of Giordano Dance Chicago, now presenting Giordano Dance Chicago's Spring Engagement at the Harris Theater for Music and Dance, 205 East Randolph, March 27th through Sunday the 29th. For information, 312-334-7777. Finally, a famous writer once said, one ought every day at least to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words. I hope on our show today we have, at the very least, done just that, spoken a few reasonable words. At that, I'd like to wish everyone a good week, and as that British group once said, and in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make. And to everyone, have a happy Easter. I may not see forever. Forever. If we can be the best of lovers, yet be the best of friends. If we can try with every day to make it better as it grows, any luck then I suppose. The music The music